You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Well met, Gurubashi and Zandalari. Welcome to episode 19 of Hearth Casual. I am Brian Black, and with me once again, the resident dad legend of the show himself, Mr. Kevin Ellis. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving indeed. We are recording this in the wee final hours of Turkey Day. Apparently, neither of us ate enough turkey to put ourselves into a turkey coma. Either that or you've already had a nap. I don't know which one it was.
So my family is doing it tomorrow because my sister works at a hotel that gets super busy on Thanksgiving itself. Mm. So I haven't gone the turkey route yet, so I'm good. But yeah, I am kind of surprised you're not passed out somewhere.
I worked at my store for 10 hours today and have not had an opportunity to eat turkey.
Wouldn't the 10-hour shift cause you to crash, though?
It was a relatively boring and low-energy 10-hour shift, so I'm still doing all right.
So, okay, now, do any of your coworkers listen to this?
One might.
Okay, I was going to ask if you sneak Hearthstone on your phone during your shift, but maybe I shouldn't ask that.
I will say that when I go on break, I will try to sneak a game in.
Sure.
But
that's normal, though. Yeah. Okay. Yes, because I can't. My job is such that there's people that could always walk by my desk and like ask me a question or something. And if I'm on turn five, it's not going to go well. So.
Yeah, yeah, and like I work at this convenience store that has like a drive-through essentially. Where mm-hmm. cars can literally drive through, place an order, I get stuff from, ring them up, and such like that. So even if I was to attempt to play Hearthstone during my shift, I couldn't do anything outside of say a dungeon run or solo content.
So you could just set it down.
If I played against another player, I'd rope half the time.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. These are important things to assess.
We cover the hard-hitting topics here.
Exactly.
Speaking of hard-hitting topics, I don't know how busy your week has been with Thanksgiving and family and all those shenanigans, but have you been playing any deck in particular? I know I noticed on Twitter you had mentioned that you were feeling a little bit of that ladder burnout once again.
Yeah, just because I'm kind of at that spot where I just want to hit my five for the month yet again, and we're not quiet at the end of the month. You know, we've got a good week next week and everything. But I'm still in that situation where, like, if I get it done now, then I can just start messing around again. So, yeah. I mean, my honest answer is that I've been playing a lot of Even Shaman again. But I don't want to highlight that deck once more because I've also, on a couple of lunch breaks at work, I've been playing with a buddy of mine. We're doing the deck borrowing thing just because he played a few years back. Oh, hey, dog. He played a few years back, but he's just now coming back into things. And so, anyway, that's actually worked out really well. Like, the deck borrowing feature is just awesome. Like, he can jump in and try out whatever I've got. And so we've honestly both had a lot of success with a deck that goes back to an older Angry Chicken episode. It's one that that Willie Dills Gregory brought up. It's the Zoo Control Lock. It's a few weeks ago now, maybe even a month and a half or so, that they actually covered it on that show. But, you know, I got the code from their show notes. I played it a little bit when it first, you know, like right after the episode, just because it sounded interesting. Mm-hmm. But then the more I go back to it, the more I really am liking it. And in particular, in this meta, I've taken it on ladder a few times too. So the idea behind it is, like, if you're familiar with the zoo or control archetypes, you kind of hear that and you go, oh, these don't really make sense together. Like, right. Zoo is flood the board and be a little aggressive, and control is not that, right? Mm-hmm. But it actually works out pretty well. So it's kind of a zoo opening package. You got like your flame imps, your kobold librarians, Voidwalker, actually just one copy of that. But, you know, Kel'Seth, of course, because why not have the 60% win rate card if Absolutely. You have it in your opening hand? It's got an interesting inclusion is Zola the Gorgon, where you can make a copy because as you get later into the deck, you're getting into bigger stuff. So, I mean, it does top out with Lich King, two Void Lords. There's Blood Reaver Gul'dan to bring a lot of this stuff back. And it's got the Skull of the Minari to pull out those and the Doom Guards as well. So you're not doing any cube tricks with those. Like, you're not sculling and then cubing it and doing all that stuff, because then you're getting into the cube block area. But honestly, like, you don't have to. If you've got that skull out, they don't have anything to remove it, and you're just pulling a couple of Void Lords and, you know, Doom Guards, and then you bring them back with Blood Reaver Gul'dan, you've got a deck that has pretty good early game, decent. You kind of start to lag a little bit in the mid game, depending on how things are going. And then just a stellar end game. And this has Lord Godfrey as well. So it's pretty fun. I'm having a good time with it still. As soon as I am done with this whole push to five thing, because as you recall, my shaman is already one of my golden classes. So I definitely feel pressure to do other classes on the ladder, but I even shaman's going so well that I just want to get it done. So I'm at like 6 and 2 stars right now. So almost there. But anyway, I'd definitely try it out. And honestly, like, you know, now is the time too in the ladder where, you know, everyone's just kind of waiting for, obviously, Rosticon's Rumble to come out. But now's the time to go back and look at some of those decks where you're like, oh, this sounded really good a little while ago. I tried it out, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, and now it's fun again. It's good again. So that's kind of what I like doing at this stage of the cycle, you know?
It's interesting that you bring up Skull of the Minari, because one thing that I would say over the past year, all those legendary weapons are now turning about a year old because they came out with Kobolds and Catacombs.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things when those weapons first came out and when the set was released, people were talking about like, oh, everyone's going to be running weapon removal and these legendary weapons are amazing and broken, blah, 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 this and that. And to be quite honest, I mean, yeah, in tournament play, you might see some tournament metas where people are putting in weapon removal. But if you look at like ladder play and you look at casual play, not too much weapon removal.
Right.
So you can get away with running decks that have things like Skull of the Minari or Dragon Soul if you're playing some sort of spell priest deck or Alaneth in your mage deck.
Yeah, pretty easily. And honestly, funny story about that. So going back to the work buddy of mine that I play with, because I have on my account both this Control Zoo lock and regular. And so we played a game where he opened it up with the zoo opening and everything. And on turn 3, I was playing Odd Warrior, and I had, I'm blanking on it, the ooze, you know, the 3-mana ooze that gives you the armor back as you do it. I tempoed it out on turn 3 thinking, oh, he's playing the zoo lock, whatever, whatever. And then turn 5, he pulled out Skull of the Minari. And I was like, oh, that's the Control Zoo version. And I've wasted my weapon hate on nothing. So even in a game where a guy was playing with one of my decks that I put on my own account, I still didn't use the weapon hate properly. So you're onto something there, man, for sure.
That's how much it's not on people's mind to like really worry about weapon removal too much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just interesting to see all these concerns people had when Kobolds and Catacombs were released and that it would be like a weapon removal kind of meta. We kind of get that kind of thing going on when some really interesting stuff that's super vulnerable to being silenced comes around and people are like, oh, everyone's going to run silence. And I will say that there are cards, including at least one we'll be talking about later today, that is silence bait. But at the same time, outside of, say, you know, Druid and Priest, you don't see too much silence out there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the silence cards aren't that great by themselves. Like, I think, honestly, if they would nerf Spellbreaker somehow, then we'd be in really interesting waters of like, because I mean, Spellbreaker is pretty good. I mean, the stats are a little bit low for 4-cost, but you get a silence, right? If they nerf it kind of in the same way that they did Ironbeak Owl in the past, it could get really interesting.
Yeah, I think Spellbreaker will probably stay where it's at because there needs to be some degree of like stable silence in the game. So I don't really see anything happening to Spellbreaker in the coming months. I mean, we've talked and teased about the idea of like, what if they rotate cards in and out of the classic set? And we really don't know if that's going to happen just yet. We won't know that for a few more months. But if they were to do something like that, I feel like Spellbreaker would survive.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I don't see too many changes coming to it. They have nerfed a lot of silence cards in the past, though. Keeper of the Grove and a few others, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. It's interesting that you mentioned that you were playing a deck that was brought up on the Angry Chicken, because earlier this week, the Angry Chicken was talking about a Paladin deck. It's not the Paladin deck I'm playing. I teased last episode that I'd be talking about a meme deck using a card from the Boomstay expansion that people haven't really been playing with a whole lot. And I'm going to talk about it today, although I haven't been playing with it a whole lot the past few days. I was playing it a lot the week before, and that is Lenscrafter Paladin is what I'm calling it. And it's basically a Paladin deck that is centered primarily around the 4-mana spell Prismatic Lens. So the whole point of this deck is that it runs very few creatures, and what few creatures it does run are very large creatures. And you are playing a whole bunch of 1-mana cost spells and 2-mana cost spells, and then a couple of 3s and 4s, because honestly, if you Prismatic Lens and your... to refresh people, what Prismatic Lens does is you draw a spell and a creature, a spell and a minion from your deck, and you switch their mana costs. So if the only minions in your deck are high-cost minions, and the only spells in your deck are low-cost spells, boom, you get a high-cost minion for the cost of one of your low-cost spells. Great ways to cheat things out, like, say, the Lich King or Ysera on turn 4, or turn 4 with the coin, or turn 5 if you happen to switch it with a one cast spell in your deck.
Right.
So I'm running spells like Blessing of Might, Blessing of Wisdom for card draw, Adaptation, Lost in the Jungle, Redemption. I have Equality and Consecration in there. And as far as creatures go, I'm essentially relying on Knights of the Silver Hand for creatures, and I'll throw buff spells on them if I have them in my hand, because one of the creatures that I have, one of the big minions I have on the high end is Lunessa Sunsorrow. I figured, well, if I'm going to go with this strategy and I'm playing things like Blessing of Wisdom and I'm playing other buff spells for my Silverhand Knights, I might as well have a Lunessa in my deck to work with it. So
right.
Lunessa's in there. The Lich King's in there. So is Tyrion, Fordring, and Ysera. And just for fun, and mind you, this deck is a very low-tier deck. This deck is not going to get you far on the ladder. This deck is something you play after you hit 25, 20, 15, 10, after you've hit that threshold on your ranking, if you're going to be on the ladder and you just want to play something stupid or you're playing casual mode. This is the kind of time you'd want to play this deck.
It doesn't sound too stupid. Like, I mean, it sounds like you could get some wins. It's just not...
You'll get some wins, but it's like, yeah. You're probably going to lose a bit more often than you win, is what I'm saying. This thing isn't a 50% win rate deck. It's honestly a deck that I play for the lulls, where I play to have fun, and I like... This is a very casual, meme-ish kind of deck where I'm just playing something to do silly things that don't happen all the time, but when they do happen, you can't help but just cackle evilly.
There's always a place for those decks, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Just
change it up.
Yep, exactly. And this is really the kind of time in the expansion cycle to play stuff like this, just to do something different, you know, get away from the old stuff that people already know about, play those kind of lesser run decks and have a little fun with it. And it'll be interesting to see how this deck might evolve once Rossicon's Rumbles in the rotation, because there's a few things in there that might work their way into this deck. I've been thinking about it, and there's some potential there.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's some support. Even the Loa, I'm blanking on the name, but
oh yeah, this would be well. You see, here's Shirvala. The thing about yeah, Shirvala would be okay in this deck, but the only thing is, it would be okay to cheat out with Prismatic Lens, but getting its cost reduced naturally in this deck would be a little tricky because you're casting spells that have a generally low cost.
That's true. Yeah.
If you have Sound the Bells, this deck does run Sound the Bells. So you play that with Echo a few times and that'll help, that'll go a ways. And there are a couple of four cost spells in the deck. So it's possible. And with things like Ysera and Lich King generating spells, that could also help too. So I could definitely see running Shirvala in this deck. To at the very least, I would probably take like Marin the Fox out and put Shirvala in is what I would do.
Yeah, I could see that. Or you could play the other Paladin legendary just because there's no reason not to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, which we'll get to that.
We will get to that shortly. As always, we will include the deck codes for both of our decks in the show notes. Without further ado, let's move on to this week's Brawl Breakdown.
Brawl!
Okay, Tavern Brawl for this week is called When Clones Attack, because according to Tavern Brawl designer Joe Magdalena, he was going to use Send in the Clones, but he did that with Send in the Murlocs just with the last Brawl.
Yeah, don't overdo that, that's for sure.
So, interesting thing about, like, normally when I do these Brawl Breakdowns and I prepare notes for them, I'll go to Hearthpwn and I'll gather some of their trivia and some of the stuff they have to say about it. Hearthpwn has been so busy revealing cards that they completely forgot this Tavern Brawl happened. Like, oh, yeah. If you go to Hearthpwn, it shows that they still have the Tempura Shift thing up on their page, which I found humorous. But
that is kind of funny.
Yep.
That was a good brawl, though, Tempura Shift.
Tempura Shift was... It was frustrating to me, but I liked it. It was creative, and I'm looking forward to coming back. But Joe Magdalena, as I mentioned earlier, often when a new Tavern Brawl comes out, or even with old ones, if you go to his Twitter account, which is JoeMag_games, he often has a few things to say about the brawl on Wednesday when it comes out. This week was no different. First of all, the way that the brawl works is you get a random deck, so choose a class, and every minion you play summons an extra 1/1 clone. It's play from hand, so you can't like play something like Shrieking Shroom, and if when it does its thing, it's not going to summon an extra 1/1 of what's summoned there. It's stuff played from hand only. And because it's a random deck, it's somewhat of an RNG brawl, but there's actually, this is the kind of RNG brawl, Kevin, that I don't mind, because when you're dealing with this kind of special rule, there's a bit of extra strategy that goes into thinking, when do I play these things? When's the most opportune time for me to play this minion over that minion? What was your general experience?
Well, and the other thing, too, is when it's randomized like that, you get a lot of cards that just by themselves aren't that great, but they can be amazing in this. And I don't have the name in front of me, forgive me there, but for instance, there's a 3-cost mech that gives another mech +1/+1 at the end of the turn. And so, I mean, you end up with a 4/4 and a 2/2 that first turn, and if they don't kill them, they just keep growing each other, you know? So, like, there's a lot of cool synergies there with just this way of having the free 1/1.
Oh, yeah.
And there's other crazy stuff. So, I mean, we'll get into kind of, like, what went well for us and everything, but yeah, it's a really interesting brawl. Like, you wouldn't think that the 1/1s would have as much of an impact as they do, but you can get some serious death rattles off. And honestly, it's just another body on the board to deal with if you have buffs and all kinds of stuff. So I agree. I mean, he does say, Joe mentions on there that this was in his Twitter thread as he was talking about it. You know, he said, if you're asking why isn't this a constructed brawl, he says that he considered it. But he wanted to see if it was how it plays out as a random deck for a couple of reasons, because it's more accessible and it leads to a lot of good stories, and that it could be rerun as constructed later on. And I agree with this approach too, because like I feel like whatever constructed decks we come up with for this are going to be just totally broken.
Oh, they
kill you on turn four.
Yeah.
Like just nuts, which I mean, there's a place for that. That could be really fun when that happens. And I do think this could be re-released as that. But I'm kind of glad that we got to like sink our teeth into this a little bit more and just see how some of these weird cards interact with this kind of format. Cause I'll be honest, Brian, I got my pack on probably like my sixth or seventh game.
Really?
I was getting my face kicked in on so many of the games.
So do you recall what classes you were often going against until you got that win?
Yeah. So I was trying out a few different. My first thought was Warlock, just because I thought, okay, if I get free bodies when I put a minion down, I should tap into more bodies, right? Mm. And it seemed okay, except that the Warlock cards just weren't that great for it. And so then I did catch right on to Rogue. There's definitely a lot of logic behind Rogue.
Rogue is so good.
It's so good. Well, and it's good so too because good. Like you could, I mean, just the hero power, the fact that you can clear two of the 1/1s
yes.
with two mana, like that alone is good. But then the cards are good past that. Like, yeah, there's a lot going on there. So I faced a lot of Rogues too. I think people following the same philosophy. But in the end, honestly, the class that won it for me and a class I started running into a lot as well was Druid. So, and I think that's just because Druid card quality across the board, because this is pulling from Wild, this is pulling from everything.
Yeah.
Was pretty good. The game I won, I'm blanking on the name again. I'll have to pull it up. It's the 3-mana 3/1 that gives you an empty mana crystal. That little kind of like dude.
That sprite person, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I won a game based on that because, like, basically you get two empty mana crystals back and you have a 3/1 and a 1/1. It's like doing Nourish with two bodies.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So,
Death Rattle is obviously super stupid broken in this brawl.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the reason why Rogue just works so well is because not only do you have the weapon is super efficient in taking out 2/1/1s, like you said, but card for card, you look at, and because this is Wild format for cards, you look at all the classes and kind of line them up against each other. And Rogue has a lot of possible Death Rattle cards. And not only are neutral Death Rattle cards great in this, but some of the Rogue Death Rattle cards are freaking amazing. Myra Rotspring from the Boomsday Project never really found a place in any deck in actual formats. But
at least yet.
At least yet. But in this Tavern Brawl, Myra rules everything. She comes out, she gets a Death Rattle effect of something that you discover. So not only is she going to have a 1/1 clone of her with that Death Rattle effect, you also got the card, which is a Death Rattle, which is also going to get a 1/1 with that Death Rattle. It's like quadruple value, and it's freaking great.
Yeah, that's crazy. How did you manage to get her? That's awesome.
Here's the thing, and maybe it was just dumb RNG for me, but I played several games of this Tavern Brawl, and I played nothing but Rogue. And I can only tell you about the other classes by playing against them. I just played Rogue all day, every day, and I only lost once out of 7 or 8 games.
Really? Nice.
And
so, I mean, Myra or not, you just...
Half of them I got Myra. I mean, she appeared fairly frequently. That's why I'm wondering if it was like an offering rate thing or just dumb luck. But man, Myra did a lot of work.
I wonder if Boomsday cards were weighted more heavily like they should have been in an arena this whole time.
I don't know.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
But you know. I don't know. Okay, question for you though. Because when I was playing Rogue, one of the drawbacks I came into was that, I mean, yes, you want to be clearing the 1/1s. Because they can just be good and annoying. But at the same time, I had a couple games where I was really working at clearing the 1/1s with the hero power. And by that, I mean, you know, like I had it up on 2. So I did my swings on turns 2 and 3. And then turn 4, I brought it back up and played another 2 drop. And then I was swinging away. And I kind of kept that going. But I found myself just, you know, because the minions I was playing were smaller because I was trying to give room for those hero powers. And I was taking face damage from just swinging around a lot. So, like, I had a couple games, honestly, where I just kept slipping and fell behind in tempo and then just didn't win in the end. So is the right call to do what I was doing, or should I have just foregone a couple of the swings for the sake of just playing good minions?
I almost always equipped the weapon on turn two. Sure. Whether or not I equipped it on ladder turns really depended on what I got on the draw, and more often I did not. But just establishing an early board presence in this brawl, it just felt like it was super important. So I would say, yes, use that dagger early to get rid of the first ones that appear. But later on, it's not as big a deal. What's more important is getting, if you have bigger stuff in your hand, I would rather play a 5 casting cost thing than play a 3 casting cost and get weapons back up.
Yeah, makes sense. Again, depending on what it is.
Yeah, and with Rogue, there was so much good stuff. One class I would advise against is Shaman, just because Shaman has very heavily weighted into Battlecry minion mechanics, and Battlecries don't go off on the 1/1s that get the clones that get created. So you're not really getting that extra bonus value on a great number of your Shaman cards. Rogue's a good class to play. I would say Priest is also decent, and I'd also say you could probably do Hunter and do fairly well, especially considering Hunter having a heavy beast synergy and cards that interact with beasts. Usually having more beasts is a good thing in a Hunter deck. So
Hunter was another one I tried for a couple of those games, and I
didn't work.
Maybe I just didn't have good draws or something, but yeah, it didn't work so well. I do think, I mean, we talked about how strong Rogue is with the ping, but any of the ping classes are good.
Sure.
Because, you know, I mean, you could, and that's, I think, part of why I ended up winning with Druid was, you know, the hero power ping there. You got Mage with it as well. Only drawback on Mage is that because it's such a spell heavy class, like historically speaking, the minions themselves haven't always been as strong. With, you know, some very notable exceptions. If you got Flame Waker out there, for instance, could be very cool. But yeah, so I'd say ping classes over the others, although, yeah, I could see Priest being an exception to that rule, just because, again, card quality, and they've had a lot of cool death rattles in the past and stuff, too, so...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good luck on the brawl. It's a lot of fun. Again, it's for a random brawl. It's actually, I'd probably say, no hyperbole here, best RNG brawl of the year so far.
Yeah, that's actually fair, because it was a tiny tweak. Like when you read it, you're like, oh, that's, I mean, it's what a brawl is. It's just a little gimmick attached to something. Mm-hmm. But it ends up making a huge difference. So yeah, it's cool.
All right. Well, let's move on. We do have a few more things to talk about, including some Rastakhan's Rumble cards. Now, since the last time that Kevin and I have talked here on the show, we've gotten quite a few new cards revealed. I think we're up to maybe 40 or 50 cards revealed. I haven't looked at the total tracker so far, but there's quite a few out there, a lot of Loas, a lot of champions. Just a reminder, the final reveal stream for Rastakhan's Rumble is on Wednesday, and the set itself will release on December 4th. Of course, there are pre-release events happening, I believe, on the 1st and the 2nd. You can even have your own pre-release event. We talked a little bit about that on the last episode. I'd highly encourage you to participate in a pre-release if you can. Kevin, are you going to one in Kansas City?
Absolutely. Going to one at Pawn and Pint, kind of in the northern edge of Kansas City, on Sunday, December 2nd.
Awesome.
So that's when it is. It's going to be from 6 to 11 in the evening if anyone listens to this and wants to check it out. And you're in the Kansas City area for sure. But yeah, so I've been talking to the innkeeper, Sam, who runs it in the area here. And turns out this fireside is going to be lit. did you see what I did there?
Yes.
It's like it's a fire. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you've only been a dad for a few months now, and
a year, dude.
A year. Holy cow.
He turned a year on the 7th of November.
How has that much time gone by, man?
I really don't know. Although, I mean, it has been the longest year of my life, in all fairness.
Well,
if I'm being totally honest,
your dad joke skill has increased significantly.
Yeah, I've been working on it quite a bit at work. I've got a whiteboard behind me that's my dad joke dojo. So, yeah. Got to take that stuff seriously.
Well, let's move on, talk a bit about some of the cards that have been revealed over the past few days. This time around, Kevin and I are going to talk about, each of us are going to talk about three of the cards that made us a little giddy with the excitement and potential for what they could bring, whether you're trying to do something serious or something just fun with them. Kevin, I'm going to let you have the first swing at it. What do you want to talk about first?
So I got to start with Haunting Vision, actually. So this is a shaman spell, 3 mana, and then it reads, the next spell you cast this turn costs 3 less, and also discover a spell. So obviously, when you first read this, you think, okay, this is a new primordial glyph. You know, the mage spell, 2 mana, same kind of deal, except, you know, it's just discover a spell, it costs 2 less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a different approach, though, and it's kind of interesting because, like, it at face value, when you first read it, you're like, oh, okay, it's primordial glyph, but worse, and in shaman, which is a class that actually does have worse spells. So it is true. Sometimes you're going to pull this, and then you're going to get, like, ancestral healing and totemic might and zap, and you're gonna just hate your life at that point. But sometimes, no. I mean, you're going to be getting all kinds of different stuff out of this. And what's interesting to me about it is that, so it's the next spell that you cast costs 3 less. I mean, you've paid 3 for the Haunting Vision, and so like Primordial Glyph, I mean, if you had the mana to cast the new spell, then you could,
like
if you're on... Go ahead.
It's almost like Farsight and Primordial Glyph had a kid.
Yeah, that's a way of thinking of it, for sure. But that's the thing, is that, like, the 3 mana cost of the spell is free if you then just cast another spell that's in your hand. So,
yeah.
I mean, think of it this way. You're playing maybe a kind of aggressive shaman, which, okay, this is an aggressive spell, probably not the best fit in that kind of deck. But I could see a world in which, like, I cast this, I have a Lava Burst in hand, so I send that thing out to face for free, and then... I've got a free spell, whatever I discovered. Maybe it's more burn. Maybe it's even just a rock biter weapon. And that's the 3 damage I need to finish off their health total, you know? So, like, there's interesting play here. I don't know if it's going to be that strong of a card, but with how strong Primordial Glyph has been, and especially eventually Primordial Glyph's going to rotate out probably around April here, naturally, and this will be kind of the new Primordial Glyph in Shaman, I don't think we can discount it totally, except... You know, discount, of course, the next spell that you cast by 3 mana.
May I bring up something which mm-hmm. I've seen talked a little bit in regards to this card? Gadget Sand Auctioneer. What if you Ooh. Haunting Vision into Haunting Vision into Farsight?
Yeah, right. All with, Miracle Shaman.
Yeah.
We're onto something here.
People are saying that running Gadget Zan Auctioneer with a couple of Haunting Visions and a couple of Farsights could make for some interesting gameplay. What you build around that, people are still trying to figure it out. But I saw Gadget Zan Auctioneer brought up quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the Primordial Glyph meme of, like, that you constantly get Primordial Glyph.
Glyph into
so
Glyph,
just,
yeah.
You max out, the old joke was you max out a mana worm and just OTK.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, no one does mana worm anymore. 2 mana worm? Yeah, no. All right. So, Brian, what's one of them that's jumping out at you right now?
Well, let's keep with the same class, and I'm going to talk about the Shaman Legendary Champion, which is Zentimo. And Zentimo is a 3 mana, 1/3 minion. Yeah, not the best body in the world, but boy, its ability is pretty amazing. And that is, whenever you target a minion with a spell, it also targets adjacent ones. And now this is unlike Elektra Storm Surge, which was just kind of like a battle cry and the next spell you cast is duplicated. This is something which, as long as Intimo stays on the board, your spells will hit adjacent targets. That means if you throw a buff on one of your minions, the minion to the left and the right are also going to get that buff. If you lightning bolt one of your opponent's minions, the minion to the left and right are going to get lightning bolted as well. And I'm going to steal this from the Value Town podcast. I was hearing them talk about Zentimo. You play Zentimo on turn three. Then on turn four, as long as Zentimo managed to stay alive, you know, you had a taunt or something up. On turn four, you play Crushing Fist, or the 2-mana, 8-damage removal spell.
Yeah, yeah, with the overload.
Uh-huh. And if it targets three things, if your opponent has a wide board, say they're playing Zoo or something, and you kill three things, not only have you killed three things, you've overloaded yourself for 9, which means Snow Flurry Giant now only costs 2 mana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you can actually, on turn four, play that 2-mana spell and get a giant out in the same turn.
On four.
On four.
You have to have all these cards aligned.
Right.
And Zentimo has to live. And yeah, I mean,
It's obviously, it's not something that's going to happen all the time, but this is the type of thing that you're going to see on a Trolden clip easily.
Oh, yeah. And someone's definitely going to just try this for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's just cool. I'm sold just based on that. I haven't caught that episode of Value Town yet, but I'm catching up. I would say, so about this card, the spotlight actually sheds a lot of light on this too, about kind of maybe a more normal situation in which you might get some use out of it, but it's really good. So in the spotlight, if you haven't watched it yet, it's, you know, it's pretty straightforward, just a couple seconds long. But the idea is, so he's playing against a board of, I got it pulled up here, it's Lich King, you got the Hoarding Dragon, and then Hadronox, so basically, you know, Taunt Druid. And, you know, Zentimo's on the board. They cast Hex in the middle one, hexing all three. And then also Earth and Might on your side, giving the +2/+2 to everything, as well as, you know, I'm giving you extra elementals if one of those is an elemental.
Oh, and, my like, gosh.
The fact is, I mean, I've been playing a lot of Even Shaman right now. And the catch on this is, of course, that, you know, obviously Zentimo's not going to fit in that deck because he's 3-cost. But there's going to be a deck where you're doing plays like that, and it's going to be really good.
Man, there's so much potential for fun here. This card just screams fun to me. I don't know if it screams top tier deck stuff, but I feel like there are probably a lot of shaman decks that could run this and wouldn't be worse for running it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's just it. Like, worst case scenario, you put it down and you're playing against a mage and they spend a Frostbolt to kill it.
Right.
Like, they could have spent that Frostbolt on some higher priority target later, and you've kind of done your job. Like, I honestly always love, no matter the power level, any minion that has the soft taunt.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like,
it doesn't say taunt, but if you don't kill it, bad stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this definitely has that. No question. And 3 health on the turn 3 is not bad. I mean, that's normal. It's got low attack, but that's not what you're taking this for. So
also, you know, if you happen to play, if you have Zentimo down, and let's say you have a totem already in play. Here's a fun situation that I thought of. A totem's in play. You drop Zentimo. This is like, you know, turn 7 or 8 or whatever. You drop Zentimo. You drop Elektra Storm Surge. And then you play, like, you know, Earth and Might or whatever. And so not only are all three things going to be targeted by it, Elektra Storm Surge causes all three things to be targeted by it twice.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yep, you go back to Earth and Fury there. Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's just so much. There's so much potential for fun, crazy things here. We haven't seen even, I think, half of the shaman cards yet. There's still like 6 shaman cards left to be revealed. We only know 4 of them. And I'm so far liking what I'm seeing out of shaman. It's not like it's going in any one specific direction, but each card that's been revealed, you could find a role for it in a different kind of deck.
Yeah, and that, I mean, going back to the interview with Peter Whalen that we did, that's kind of what he was saying, is that they're not really pushing in any real direction. There's just, all of these are all over the place by design, so that you can sit there and think, oh, that would work really well in Even Shaman if it were even, and that's obviously why it's not, and that sort of thing, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah.
All right, well, I think you have a couple legendaries left to talk about, so pick one.
Yeah, you kind of always have to talk about the legendaries, right? Just because they're the hotness. And so speaking of three mana cards, let's look at Paladin. So we kind of hinted at this earlier. It's a High Priest, is it Thekal?
I pronounce it Thekal.
Thekal? Thekal? It's definitely not Thekal, because that kind of comes off like fecal, and no one wants that. Although, you know, memes for maybe our lagging balls friends are just going to call it that, High Priest Fecal. Got to tweet that at this later on. Anyway, so the idea is, okay, 3-mana, 3-4, which already good. Could just throw that in the deck if it was a vanilla, honestly, in some cases. But does something a little interesting. Battle Cry, convert all but one of your hero's health into armor. So, okay, like, here's the thing. It's one of those that's obviously better if you're doing it early game. If you do it on turn three or a coined out turn two, you just have more health at that point than if you pulled it out later. But honestly, like, there's no harm in doing it ever. Like, even if you're at 15 and you convert that to being 14 armor and one health, like, you've made no net change in how many hits it's going to take to kill you. And yet, you've given yourself the ability to essentially pad yourself again with healing. So obviously, like, the dream is to be at 30 health when you get this off, then you're at 29 and 1, and then you just heal to full before you take any damage at all. Now you've got 60 health, right?
Yeah.
That's what, or I guess it would be 59 health. That's the dream. It's not really ever going to happen that way, but like, at the same time, it's never going to be bad when it happens and you open up the door for that kind of thing, you know? So like, even if you get this out on three and you don't really take any damage, maybe someone trades into it. And so now you're at your 29 and one. If all you do is pull out True Silver Champion on turn four and take that one swing with it, the two health that you got from there means more than it would have if you had 30. Like, you gained two health that you otherwise wouldn't have had. And if that makes the difference in the game, cool. So like, this is just one of those cards that, I mean, unless it's a really aggressive paladin, I guess, I don't see the harm in just throwing this in everything. But what do you think about it?
3-mana, 3-4, it's a spider tank, right? I mean, for those not familiar, that was like one of the first 3-mana, 3-4s we saw in Hearthstone. So it's a solid body for its cost. I think the cost is intentional because you have True Silver Champion, because you have the 3-2 with Russian Lifesteal, I think, for Paladin. I forget.
Oh, that's 4. That's true.
Yeah, it's
that's a charge and lifesteal.
Charge and lifesteal, and that's costed at 4 mana, right? So this is a great thing to like go from this and then curve into that. Obviously, they are giving Paladin more tools to make healing matter, and I don't know if we're going to see more stuff that deals with healing matters. I mean, I'll bring one example, and I'll bring this up really quickly, but not going to go deep into the card. There's a card, Xandalari Templar, which says if you battle cry, if you restore 10 health this game, plus gain +4/+4 and taunt. So making healing matter in Paladin is becoming more and more of a thing. Obviously, Priest can heal far easier than Paladin can, or at least that's how things have been for a while. I think you're going to see a shift. I think that High Priest is an interesting card, and I think there's going to be a strong deck for it, but I don't know if it's going to be right when Rossikon's Rumble releases in terms of standard. I think there'll be a solid standard deck for it, maybe an expansion or two down the line once there's a few more heal cards brought into Paladin. But where I think High Priest is really going to be fun to play, at least right away, is in Wild. Because there's a little spell called Forbidden Healing.
Yeah.
Holy cow. There's definitely healing tools for Paladin if you look at all of the sets in the game. And I could see, I want to build a wild deck that really capitalizes on healing for Paladin. And it will probably be one of the first decks I talk about when we're talking about like what we've been playing this week. So expect me to talk about that for sure. I'm really excited about this card. I didn't think that we were going to get a super crystallizer, as it were.
You bring up a good point, though, because Blizzard, even like moving forward, has to really think about Paladin healing. Because, and honestly, this is the second set in a row that I've said that about, because last set, Boomsday, Crystal Smith Kangor, Divine Shield, Lifesteal, your healing is doubled.
Mm.
So there could be something there. I mean, you're playing two fairly weak minions to pull this stuff off. But there's something there, man. And with like Ziliax, you know, getting like if you do one of the eggs or something in your magneticizing, is that the word? getting some healing off of that and some of these spells, there could be something here. You're right. Maybe not now. But between Crystal Smith Kangor and this, it's clear Blizzard's going in a direction, and that's to make Paladin healing really interesting.
Can I give all the kids at home a tip for how to play this in Wild?
Oh, of course.
Turn 3, High Press Thekkel, Molten Giant, win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, wow.
Molten Giant costs 25. It's going to cost 0 if you drop this on turn 3. I don't know what Blizzard was thinking when they made this card.
That's so bad. That is, they just need to take the Giants out of Wild, I think. Because they've had so many problems with, like, the Naga Sea Witch reducing them and... Oh, yeah.
No. I can tell you right now, when I make this deck, 2 Molten Giants in Wild are going in it, and I'm going to play this on turn 3. I'm going to have a Molten Giant for free on turn 3, and my opponent's going to concede faster than I can blink.
Yeah, and honestly, this card might be why they retired Molten Giant into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's possible.
It really might be.
Yeah.
Like, because they design a few sets ahead, and so they were like, oh no, we've got to try this, let's get rid of Molten Giant standard.
You'd have to. This wouldn't exist in an environment where Molten Giant was around in standard.
Yeah, for sure. I think I dusted those Giants. I need to go back. it feels like there's a fairly quick and easy legend run in Wild waiting for someone there. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So my next card, let's stay with the class and talk about another Paladin card. And this one's an epic card called A New Challenger. It's a spell for 7 mana. And it reads, discover a 6 cost minion, summon it with Taunt and Divine Shield.
Everything's an Annoyatron. Everything. Well, okay, all the 6 cost minions. But and so, okay, being Discover as it is, you're pulling mostly from Paladin still, right?
Because it's Discover, I mean, obviously, you're 4 times more likely to see a Paladin 6 cost card. And right now, unless we get any 6 cost cards, there are 3 cards left to be revealed for Paladin in this set. So if we don't get a 6 cost Paladin minion, then you either get Blackguard. You'll see Blackguard appear a lot, which is fine. That's like, what, a 3-9? I forget the other 6 cost Paladin minion, but I remember it wasn't something that was all that great. So you'd probably pick Blackguard, but there's some neutral minions at 6 cost that are freaking crazy. Bane, Bloodhoof, Cairn Bloodhoof is 6 mana. Let's see, the Mechanical Whelpling is 6 mana.
Yeah,
you put Taunt and Divine Shield on a 2/2 with a Death Rattle that summons a 7/7. That's pretty freaking crazy. And I mean, I've just started. There's a lot, just talking standard, there's a lot of solid bodies that Divine Shield and Taunt just makes us a threat. And one of the great things, the reason why I like this card is because this is the kind of card that a deck that's trying to play out the Loa Shervala the Tiger, this is the kind of spell that that deck really needs. A high cost spell that buys you some more time, takes a big chunk out of Shervala's mana cost, And I definitely could see a spell-heavy, control-ish type of paladin deck where Shirvala is only one piece of the puzzle. I mean, I wouldn't bank your whole deck on winning with Shirvala. You need to have a couple other things in there, too, as your win condition. But I definitely see a new challenger as something you would throw in there to just, you know, keep control of the board.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Sunwalker, which is a 6-mana, 4/5, Divine Shield and Taunt, basically what you're doing here, is a good card. Like, if you pulled the Black Knight, for instance, you'd have a Sunwalker. And it's fine, because, like, in Arena, they run Sunwalker, because it just does its job. You know, I mean, it's a bigger body Annoyatron that you have to kind of fight through a couple different hits, one of which is 5 health or greater. And so, yeah, I mean, even if you just get something that's on the lower end of stats but has all of that, it's good. And then if you get something on the higher end, you know, great. Like, I'm with you. I don't think there's going to be many bad pulls out of this. And when you're doing a discover, I mean, the odds of all three of them being just totally worthless, I think, is impossible. Like,
it's pretty low. Obviously, in Arena, I think this is a very high pick. I think this is a stupid high pick in Arena.
Yeah.
It again, better be just in the top two buckets, is all I can say.
Yeah. I'd have to go and look at all the six cost stuff to fully think it through. And I mean, obviously we need to have the rest of this set announced too, but
yeah.
But yeah, there's something here for sure.
Yep. I do want to mention one other Paladin card really quickly, just because of the combo potential with this, and it's just stupid. Spirit of the Tiger, 4 mana, 0/3. It's the spirit for Paladin. It stealths for one turn. After you cast a spell, summon a tiger with stats equal to its cost. You drop Spirit of the Tiger on turns like 6, and then on turn 7, if you play a new challenger, not only are you getting a 6-cost minion with Taunt and Divine Shield, you're getting a 7-mana cat with it. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I like where Paladin's going. I'm pretty happy with the Paladin cards so far that we've seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting class. And it's good too, because, you know, they need new directions than just even and odd and all that stuff. I just looked it up because it's been bothering me. High Priest Thekal, or Thekal, or whatever you want. Yeah, whatever. Boston Zul'Garub. That's where I remember the name from.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the troll champions are from earlier World of Warcraft content. I think there's a couple that are original to Hearthstone, like the rogue champion, Captain Hooktusk, is a Hearthstone original creation.
But yeah, no, and it makes sense because, you know, the Gurubarshi Arena is right by there, so checks out.
Mm-hmm. All right, your turn. What you got next?
Probably all of the shows are taking a moment to talk about Grawl the Shark. So let's jump on that, because it's probably the card of the set to talk about, in my opinion. and when it came out, like, you could kind of see Twitter just explode a bit. So if you haven't seen it yet, because you've just not been on Twitter or anything, Grawl the Shark, rogue card, 5 mana, 2/2. So this is awful, right? Like, why would anyone? That seems terrible. Except battle cry, eat a minion in your deck and gain its stats. Death rattle. Add it to your hand. So obviously this is that silence bait you were talking about. If you silence this thing off, then it's a 5-mana 2/2, and they also ate something in your deck and will not spit it back out into your hand, so you've just kind of killed something off there. So that's the obvious glaring weakness. But again, I'm kind of with you, Brian, and I was honestly going to make the same point at this juncture, and it's that I don't know if people are going to really like hold silences just for this, or if they're going to run enough of them like silence hate to justify it. Hard to say, but regardless, I don't even think I need to explain why this is good if it does get off properly. Obviously,
are you having any dark thoughts here?
Dark thoughts?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Like the darkness?
Oh, no, hadn't considered that. Would that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay, because then he wouldn't need to activate. He would just
he has the stats on his card.
And what if that was somehow the only other minion in your deck? That's maybe not possible, right? Or I guess you could just cheap shot stuff away, and you could sap things away, and you could assassinate.
You can you can use spells to burgle stuff from your opponent to get minions. You can
poisonous blade and hard remove things. That way. Oh, okay, you're probably onto something here. But okay, all right.
A darkness Grawl the Shark is pretty freaking sick.
That's pretty good. Or do you just build a regular deck and just throw the darkness in it anyway and hope?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the answer to me, because the other one where you just have the two minions comes off a lot like there have been spell hunters in the past that did the same thing, or some other classes where it was, of course, it was one of the old gods. Why am I blanking? Yashiraj.
N'Zoth?
Oh, yeah, where you just did Barnes and Yashiraj and then just pulled the Yashiraj, which gave you the 10-10. Like there was that before. It wasn't terrible. So maybe that plan, the Grawl darkness plan, isn't terrible. I'm not sure. But that's, yeah, you're onto something there.
It's a meme kind of combo. It's about as much of a meme combo as, say, Barnes into Yashiraj.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, I mean, honestly, totally going to try it. Like, that's
it. Oh, yeah. I've got it.
That's a day one. I mean, this is a day one craft. Like, no question. I have the arcane dust for this now, and I'm going to spin it on it. It's flat out.
Yeah.
Even if it turns out to not be great.
If you do run more minions than just, obviously, the Darkness and Grawl the Shark, the Spirit of the Shark that was revealed, you know, when the set was first released, that battle cry... So what I'm wondering about that is, I haven't checked like the wording on that. So would Grawl then eat two different minions, and would they be added on, or would his stats be just equal to the second minion? I'm wondering about that, because they said that all the Loas and their spirits had synergy together. So I was kind of confused by how it would interact with Spirit of the Shark.
I have to think that, yeah, it would eat two minions and gain both of their stats, and that when it dies, you get both of those minions in your hand.
I would hope
so. Which also calls into question what happens when you cube Grawl. Death Rattle goes off, he spits out into your hand whatever he ate, and then you get two of them back, presumably both spitting copies of it again.
Oh my gosh.
So there's just so much here. Like, honestly, if Grawl does that with the cube, like you have two cubes in your deck and Grawl, and you know, he eats a cube. He comes out as a, what would that be? A 6-8? Yeah. 6-8, just stat wise. And then you kill it off, and then you got two. Hey, there's something there. I don't know.
Wow.
There's a lot of craziness going on here.
Yeah. I think we've only just scratched the surface. We're only seeing the fin sticking out of the water so far with the shark.
Yeah. And then it turns out that the actual shark has a lot of teeth. A lot of teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for our final card that we're going to talk about here, and I can't believe we're almost at an hour already. Holy cow.
Hey, it's right before the new expansion. It's all good.
It is. I mean, I expect big episodes right around this time. But Kevin, what if I were to tell you that the Fire Lord Ragnaros himself is coming back to Standard?
I would not believe you. Despite the fact that I've seen the card you're about to talk about.
So, Ragnaros is coming back, but not in a direct way, only if you are playing Mage. And the way that is happening is with the Mage Loa, Janalai the Dragonhawk. And Janalai the Dragonhawk is a 7-mana, 4/4 beast with Battlecry. If your hero power dealt 8 damage this game, summon Ragnaros the Fire Lord. Holy cow. And now that in itself seems pretty cool. And I mean, you look at that and you're like, well, doing 8 damage when my hero power, that's going to take a while. That means 8 turns. And you don't think that's that feasible a thing. And I would normally agree with you. However, if you watch the reveal stream where Janalai was heavily featured, you'll see that Mage in general is getting some extra support to making your hero power more powerful. Now, in the last episode, of course, I talked about Pyromaniac, which is when your hero power kills a minion, draw a card. That's cool. But the Spirit of the Dragonhawk, which allows your hero power to target adjacent minions. So it's like Zen Teemo for your hero power. There's Daring Fire Eater, which is a 1-mana 1/1 with Battlecry. Your next hero power this turn deals 2 more damage. There are ways to basically use supporting cards in this kind of deck to create a combo where you're dealing a lot more hero damage faster than you might think. And by turn 7, dropping this and getting a Ragnaros to be summoned is not necessarily that difficult if you build around.
Yeah, so the way I see it playing out, again, if you have all the cards handy, would be, you know, turn 2, Spirit of the Dragonhawk. It stealths for the turn, so, you know, presumably it survives. And then turn 3, you can do the Daring Fire Eater into your hero power for 3 mana. And then you're doing 3 damage spread across the target that you're going for and its adjacent minions. So you've wrecked the Zoo Warlock probably already. Like, you probably just won the game right there. But you have done, 9 already. So you've triggered the Janalai, and you're good to go on turn 7, just on turn 3. So, there's something there. Yeah. I don't know if, like, all of this means that hero power mage is going to be the thing, but maybe.
I was going to say, if you don't use the Spirit of the Dragonhawk and just use the other tools available to you, Janalai, Daring Fire Eater, Pyromaniac, all of these are odd-costed cards.
Also true.
You're running odd mage means that your hero power would only your hero power then costs 2, but you deal 2 damage. So having a 2 damage hero power and using Daring Fire Eater, that means that one use of your hero power after a Fire Eater does 4 damage.
Does 4, yeah.
I could see this hero power package not with a spirit, but I could see this hero power kind of deck working in an odd mage deck.
That's true. And all of those, like Daring Fire Eater, even Spirit of the Dragonhawk, and also, you know, the Pyromania, they're all cheap too. So, like, it's not, not hard to slot into any kind of mage deck, really. I mean, maybe you wouldn't be playing these out on curve, but saving them for later just to get the hero powers off for the Dragonhawk. But there could be something there. I mean, I'm blanking on the name, but there's the, is the 1-mana mage spell that does the damage to adjacent minions.
Shooting Star?
Yeah. It's honestly, if you do that combo I talked about a moment ago, it's like getting one of those off that's buffed for the spell power. So,
yeah.
That's good. I've played a lot of tempo mage in my time, and I will attest my fandom of that.
And we have 4 months roughly left to play with Knights of the Frozen Throne and Journey to Un'Goro and the elemental package and madness that Frostlich Jaina loves well. If you have Frostlich Jaina out and you drop Janalai, not only are you getting Ragnaros that turn, you're healing for 8.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Ragnaros is hitting something for 8 and you're healing for 8.
Elemental is doing the damage. Okay. Or you could play Daring Fire Eater, which is a 1 health minion that you could ping off yourself, and you could get the.
These hero power cards, I mean, I know we're talking about extra cards here, but Frostlich Jaina with Spirit of the Dragonhawk, Kevin?
I think this is the possible problematic crossover. So if any of you played one of the years where Razakis Priest was a huge thing, the problem was that Raza the Unchained pre-nerf and then Kazakis together in the Highlander, that is to say, there can only be 1 card each priest deck, was way too strong synergy. And this happens a lot, actually, honestly, with third sets sometimes, where something just 2 things that should synergize too well together exist. And Blizzard has said that they are okay with this because it's just for a short time. You know, I mean, come April, that won't be a problem. I mean, it just so happens that the world championship is in that time slot, but that's beside the point.
I almost think that's intentional, too, because the world championship's happening at a time where some of the craziest stuff in the game happens, so that makes for good esports viewing, and just have more cards to choose from.
Yeah, there is something here, and I still don't have Frostlich Jaina. I'm Maybe I am going to burn that disc.
How do you not have that card?
I don't know, man. I've just never gotten it. And I tried, man. I went back and I did that, you know, that Frozen Throne bundle when it came out and stuff. And I was...
I wish I could gift individual cards. I would try... I would craft and gift you a Frostlich
Demon. I appreciate that. I do. Yeah.
It's so good. Well, that's just... A decent slice of some of the stuff that's been revealed over the past couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot more cards revealed. Obviously, the next time that we have a full episode, the Rumble will have been out for a couple of days. We are likely going to have a Brawl Breakdown shorter episode next week. And I would imagine since the final reveal will have happened just before then, don't be surprised if both Kevin and I chirp in with a few final thoughts on revealed cards.
Oh, there. Yeah, for sure. Because, again, there could be something totally crazy they haven't even dropped yet. Oh, yeah. And, in fact, it's likely. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One other thing, speaking of the Brawl Breakdown episodes, on the last Brawl Breakdown, I had mentioned that we were going to give away 7 packs of Rosticon's Rumble to the person who sent in a good idea for building a tavern brawl. Now, I have gotten a submission, and I really want to give that person 7 packs. They know who they are. But I want to give you guys enough time to challenge this person. And as some of you, I understand, may not listen to the half episode. So here's what we're going to do. This is basically the rules to it. I'm going to remind you once again. You want to send an email to hearthcasual@gmail.com, or you can tweet the idea on Twitter to at Hearth Casual, and I want you to come up with an idea for a tavern brawl. It's something that should be replayable more than once, something that we could see in, you know, down the line in the standard format or whatever, something that can be reused, and basically give an idea for a tavern brawl. The one idea that we have gotten over the past few days is really good, and I really like it. And Kevin and I will discuss and decide whose idea is the best. This won't be a random winner. We are going to be harsh judges, and our judgment will be final. And that person will win 7 packs of the Rosticon's Rumbles. So get your brawl ideas to us. I mean, free packs, can't turn that down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I plan on taking the judgment of this very seriously. I am prepared to debate you to just all ends on this if we need to.
Yep. If you look at our show notes, I have that email from our first submission at the bottom there. It's a good one. All right. So I think that's going to do it for this week. Hey, Kevin, it's that time of year, you know, this happens 3 times a year, and it feels like Christmas for Hearthstone. We're waiting for our presents to be unwrapped. We've gotten an early peek at some of them, and I want more.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, actual Christmas is right after that. So,
yes,
it's going to be a good month. It really is.
I just wish we got a Golden Legendary this time.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess we never really talked about, you know, the differences here with like the bundles and everything. I did find that interesting that there's the $50 50 pack, and then also now the $20 20 pack option. Like that was interesting.
They're going cheaper, and they're making the alternate hero easier to acquire, and I can respect both of those decisions. I just wish the $50 package had a Golden Legendary.
Fair enough. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I did. I mean, I got the Rosticon, so that's good. Although one other thing I wanted to mention, Rosticon's kind of a weird pick to like base this whole set around too, because just in general, I don't know. I don't want to give any lore spoilers here or anything, but at least so far in the story, he's not that smart. I don't know.
Well, he is the king of all trolls.
Yeah, he is. So. He's quite the troll, that's for sure. but yeah, no, I don't want to say anything that's like data mined, but it gets even more interesting in the next patch of WoW. So that's all I'm going to say.
It does.
But and when you learn what happens then, you're going to be like, oh, well, then, okay, well, what? All right, so whatever. We'll figure it out as time goes on.
I'm looking forward to the sequel to Rosticon's Rumble, Talanji's Tumble.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, one last thing I have to say before we get out of here. Priests,
yes.
Legendaries killed it in terms of like Battle for Azeroth representation. They got both Talanji and Bwon Sombi. That's insane.
They did.
That is insane.
They did. Mm-hmm. And I'm my opinion on those priest legendaries, I'm still the jury's still out on those.
Both of them,
I have mixed opinions on those. I think they need some support. And I haven't seen it yet, but we've still got time to see what else Priest has.
I really am thinking about starting a religion that elevates Bwon Sombi above all other Loa, so I'm interested. I'm probably going to craft it. We'll see.
Well, until then, Kevin, where can people find you and your zombie ritualistic tribe?
I mean, the first thing you have to do is bind your bloodline to Bwon Sombi. And then you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Multizord. Then you can also find my other show, Lords of the Storm. It's live Wednesday nights at twitch.tv/heroeshearth, actually now. But it's also, podcast feeds, whatever else. I guess we're on their YouTube now. So check us out there. It's a Heroes of the Storm show, for sure. And I'm always at least pushing for more Hearthstone representation in that game. So there's that.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RoWow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. You can also find me on the Rolling Restart podcast for your World of Warcraft podcast needs. I also produce a show called Realm Maintenance. If you just love all Blizzard games and you love podcasts for all those games, I can help you find more great shows for those games. And lastly, you can find me on a Dungeons & Dragons podcast called Plus 5 to Hit. A heck of a lot of fun. I play a female halfling cleric, and she's got an interesting couple of party members with her, and then she's wondering what the heck they're up to with a whole bunch of gold bars. So you'll have to stay tuned and find out what's going on there.
You guys have a good set of people for that one.
Oh yeah, it's a great mix of people.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it, Kevin. Looking forward to 2 weeks from now, and looking forward to next week where we chime in on some more cards.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, for Kevin Ellis, this is Brian Black, reminding you that you never have to worry about a fear of clowns, but in Hearthstone, I won't apologize if after playing me, you have a fear of clones. Take care, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.